Christ Church, New Malden, Sunday the 12th of April 2026, 9:30 service. Stephen Curd speaking on the resurrection and social justice.
Well, imagine a world where death hasn't got the final word. Imagine a world where injustice, violence, and tyranny no longer carry ultimate power. Imagine a world where the very worst things, betrayal, oppression, and execution, have been transformed into things that paradoxically bring life. Because that is the astonishing claim at the heart of Christianity. The resurrection of Jesus Christ isn't just the happy ending to an otherwise tragic story, it's the beginning of a new reality. It's the beginning of God's new world. And just part of what the resurrection of Jesus Christ changes is our attitude as his followers towards justice. And that's because if Jesus is risen, then justice, healing, and restoration are affirmed not just as central to the agenda of the God who raised Jesus, but central to the agenda of the church that follows Jesus, in other words, us. And that's for a number of reasons that I want to set out this morning. And the first of them is really this. The resurrection is God's emphatic yes to Jesus' way, to the way that Jesus lived. This is really the very first thing that the resurrection of Jesus declared. When God raised Jesus from the dead, he vindicated the life and teaching of Jesus. He showed it to be right. Jesus, as we know, spent his ministry welcoming the excluded, feeding the hungry, challenging wealth and power, and showing mercy, particularly to those on the margins. And he announced this agenda in the synagogue at Nazareth. In Luke chapter 4, he said that he came to be the fulfillment of those words that we heard read earlier to us from Isaiah 61. He said, "The Spirit has anointed me," using these words from Isaiah, "to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year or the era of the Lord's favor." Jesus' ministry was a revolutionary challenge to the status quo, but it was all done through the power of loving service. And a world that hadn't ever seen anything like that, frankly, couldn't recognize it. They couldn't recognize that Jesus was bringing God's healing, restoring rule to the world, and so it responded by crucifying him and mocking any sense that he could be a king as that happened. But in raising Jesus from the dead, God was reversing that verdict. He was saying, no, this is what my kingdom looks like. That picture of Jesus there on the cross, that displays what God's kingdom looks like. That's the way that God's kingdom comes. Not through domination, not through oppression, not through might, but through loving, self-sacrificial service. Not violence, but radical, self-giving love. The resurrection declares that the cross of Jesus and the cross-shaped lives of his followers, you and I, is the only way that God's kingdom comes. Think of a whistleblower in an organization who tries to expose corruption and is silenced. It happens all the time. Now, in most cases, that silencing is not just through that person being got rid of, but the trashing of their reputation at the same time. It's horrendous for the person, and it's deeply stressful and sometimes embarrassing for those who know them, particularly if they have their own doubts about them. But if that person's claims are later proven to be true, then everything changes, doesn't it? Their life becomes reinterpreted. Their cause gains urgency. And the resurrection is God's ultimate vindication of Jesus' ministry. And this includes, firstly, the justice, the mercy, and the restoration at the heart of that ministry. And secondly, what Jesus said and what he did to bring those things about. So that's the first reason why the resurrection of Jesus inspires us as followers of Jesus to be people who seek justice through the power of love, never through any other way, I might add. You know, it's very easy for us to seek justice in the wrong way, but the process is all important. The way that Jesus sought justice was through the power of love, and the resurrection vindicates that agenda for us as well. But it goes further, because this is also true. The resurrection of Jesus Christ means that new creation has begun. The resurrection of Jesus isn't just about life after death. It's about new creation breaking into the present. We celebrate that very powerfully at Easter, and wonderfully, it's at springtime when creation is coming alive around us in loads and loads of ways. When John's Gospel says that on the first day of the week, when it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone had been rolled away, it's making a point about the similarity between Easter and the first day of creation. The Bible starts with the first day of creation in Genesis, and when John's Gospel at the start of chapter 20, this chapter on the resurrection, again mentions the first day of the week, it's making a point about Easter Day being the first day of God's new creation. And the New Testament, as we heard in that reading from 1 Corinthians 15, presents the risen Jesus as the first fruits of that new creation, the beginning of that new creation, the beginning of God's renewed world. And what this means is that that future that God promised in all those passages in the Old Testament that speak about a coming restoration, basically, the resurrection of Jesus means that that future has already begun. It has already started. And followers of Jesus are called to live as signs of that future in the present now. So working for justice in this world isn't just an optional add-on for particularly keen Christians or for people particularly drawn to that agenda. It's what all followers of Jesus are called to. And that's because justice in the present is a preview of God's coming kingdom. And all those who belong to the risen Jesus are called to be part of that preview. So think of a trailer that's made for a film. We've got four cinema clubs now here at Christchurch, and where it's possible, Anna Larkin provides a link to the trailer for them in the weekly mail shot that you get. So you might from time to time click on the trailer that will tell you a bit about the film that's coming. Now, a good trailer, and there are some trailers that are better than others, but a good trailer gives you a really exciting glimpse, doesn't it, of that film that's coming up. When you see a trailer, you get excited. You think, wow, I really, really want to see that film. Some trailers are very disappointing, and if the trailer's disappointing, the film is unlikely to be much better. But a really good trailer gives you an exciting glimpse of what's coming up in that film. And it shapes and it guides our expectations. It makes you really want to see it. And Christian acts of loving justice, things like feeding the poor, advocating for those who are oppressed, for people who have no one else to advocate for them, things like seeking to bring about reconciliation between people who are estranged from one another, whether it's political groupings, whether it's nations, whether it's individuals. Doing anything of that nature is like being part of making a trailer for God's future world. Things like that don't complete the story, but they point to it. They show what's coming, and they work to get people on board. And the reason why they draw people on board is because signs or glimpses of that future, they foster hope. Those who've worked with people caught up in spirals of poverty, abuse, exploitation, and hardship, they'll all tell you that one of the biggest barriers to helping them is the way that those things have eroded, sometimes in a way that can appear pretty permanent, their hope. And plenty of people in this world less impacted by those things can also lack the motivation to do anything about them because they've got a similar view that nothing can really change. They've got a similar lack of hope. Hope is absolutely crucial, not only to people who need to be helped out of situations that are really desperate, but to those people potentially who can help them as well. Hope is absolutely vital. And the resurrection of Jesus is all about hope. It proclaims that things can change, they will change, and indeed they have already started to change. The resurrection is the tangible trailer that God shows us to indicate what's on its way. And it's intended to inspire us to be living trailers for God's new world, bringing transforming hope through our commitment to bringing justice through acts of costly, self-giving love. People become Christians for many reasons. People start following Jesus for many reasons. But very often it's because they see something in the lives of the people around them and they want part of that. They see a hope, they see a strength that they want to be part of. And that links to another aspect of the resurrection. The resurrection continues to inspire a justice agenda for Jesus' followers because it does this. The resurrection of Jesus creates a sent community. When the resurrected Jesus appeared to his followers, he didn't say to them something along the lines of sit here quietly and wait for heaven. He said this. He said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Now, he did tell them to wait long enough to receive the Holy Spirit, and that happened just a short time afterwards at Pentecost, 50 days after Easter. But the Holy Spirit has now arrived, and the Holy Spirit is given to all of Jesus' followers, so we don't have to wait around for the Holy Spirit anymore. It was a fairly short amount of time anyway. And the resurrection of Jesus creates a mission-shaped community. What Jesus was for Israel, the church is called to be for the world. And let's remind us of those words that say what Jesus was sent to do, those words we heard earlier from Isaiah 61. To proclaim good news to the poor, to set the oppressed free, to heal the brokenhearted, basically to restore dignity to the downtrodden. So the church, through the power of God's Spirit, and that is why God's Spirit is given to us, is to be the continuation of Jesus' work in the world. Now that is a pretty scary prospect, isn't it? I think when we receive that challenge, if we're listening to it, we gulp. We think, wow, how on earth can I, or most of the people I know, or even us as a church, how can we be up to this? It can seem impossible. But that's where this point comes in. The resurrection of Jesus fuels courage for justice. Working for justice is deeply costly. It always has been. It means standing up against powerful systems. It always means personal sacrifice. There's no working for justice that's real in any way which doesn't involve cost. And the cost can come in various forms. It can mean constant disappointment. It very often means slow and largely unseen progress. People who work for justice can often feel that they're banging their head against a brick wall and they're not really seeing much change, and they're kept going by believing in that cause, but they wouldn't keep going if they were motivated by the results that they see in front of them. That's very often the case. So why persist? Why persist in seeking justice when it can be so hard, it can involve so much kickback, and it can involve so much disappointment? The reason to persist is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus tells us and proclaims to this world that evil is not going to win. It proclaims that death is not going to win. And it says that our labour, our work, is not in vain. Now that particular phrase comes from the very last line of Paul's great chapter on the resurrection. We had part of it read, an earlier part of it read to us earlier. But chapter 15 of Paul's long letter, first letter to the Corinthians, near its end has this great long chapter all about the resurrection. And it's there because it makes sense of everything that comes earlier in that letter. Paul is speaking to the church in Corinth about loads of things that are really important, but the thing that undergirds their motivation to respond to the challenge that he gives them is the resurrection, which is why he spends this long chapter on it towards the end of the letter. And Paul in that chapter spends 57 verses talking about the resurrection of Jesus and talking about the future resurrection of those who belong to him. We might expect at the end of this great long chapter for Paul to end it by saying something like, "So guys and guyesses, what a wonderful hope you have to look forward to." But he doesn't. Paul instead ends this chapter on the resurrection of Jesus and the resurrection of those who belong to Jesus by saying these words. We had them as our motto verse a few years ago, over a decade ago. We got a fantastic church warden as a result of this being pinned up in her kitchen. And this is what persuaded her to accept my request that she consider being church warden. It's no one here at the moment, although one or two others of you have responded appropriately as well. But this is what Paul says. Spends 57 verses talking about the resurrection, and then he says this. Therefore, in other words, as a result of everything I've been talking about, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you, and then this part. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. This isn't just a sort of cliche that he rolls out because a standalone. It makes the sense it does because of everything he said in the first 57 verses of that chapter about the resurrection. Christians work for justice not because success is guaranteed in the short term, but because God has already secured the final victory through the death of Jesus, with the reality of that victory shown by the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus on Easter Day showed what had happened on Good Friday. Good Friday was the victory. That was when God's love came face to face with evil and broke its power. The resurrection happens as a result. And because we believe in the resurrection, we believe that the evil in this world has received its fatal blow. It's a defeated enemy. And that is the motivation for us coming on board. Think of those people who worked for years and years and years through the 18th century to end the evil of slavery. They worked towards that long before it seemed possible, when most people thought it was as ridiculous as suggesting today that we go without electricity or cars or something like that. That was the attitude that they were given. It was absolutely bonkers to claim that slavery should be abolished. We tend to remember Wilberforce, but there were loads of others who campaigned for the end of slavery, and most of them didn't see the results of this. So what kept those people going? Well, what kept them going was a belief that justice ultimately aligns with the deepest truth of reality. And the resurrection of Jesus gives us that assurance. Love and justice are not things that are futile. They're not things that are pointless. They're not things that are sort of trying to sort of stand up against something much more powerful. They're things that have already triumphed. And we're assured that one day, the God of love and the God of justice, as Paul said in that passage from 1 Corinthians, will be all in all. And we're both called and we're inspired by the resurrection of Jesus to so believe in that future, to be so convinced that that future is on its way, that we come on board to that agenda now. And finally, I want to draw attention to this. The resurrection of Jesus transforms how we view, how we see every person. If God raised Jesus from the dead and will in the future similarly raise all those who belong to him, it tells us something very profound about human dignity. It tells us, amongst other things, that the body matters. It tells us that people matter. It tells us that the world matters. And if every single person is someone that God intends to redeem and restore, then poverty, frankly, is not acceptable. Racism and prejudice is not acceptable. Exploitation in any form is not acceptable. Social justice, in other words, and our commitment to it, becomes a very natural outworking of resurrection faith. If we knew that an important building that was currently in a state of disrepair was going to be fully restored and made beautiful, and we were very enthusiastic about that happening, we wouldn't trash that building in the meantime, would we? We'd do everything to work towards that restoration. The resurrection of Jesus Christ proclaims that God is in the process of restoring humanity. And so the people who belong to his risen Son and who are given his Spirit will always be people who work towards that agenda, because God's Spirit is given so that he can do his work through us. So the question, the challenge for us this morning: where is God personally speaking to us? Where is he prompting us? Where is he challenging us? To what part of this connection between the resurrection of Jesus and an agenda for justice is God particularly drawing us as a church, but also you personally this morning? Is there a particular cause that you felt drawn to for a while, that has caught your attention, that has moved your heart, but perhaps you haven't necessarily thrown yourself behind yet? Is there an aspect of the work of this church that God is now calling you to get behind, with the gifts, the time, perhaps the passion, perhaps the insight that he has given you? Is there a person whose life is full of difficulty and hardship, a person who desperately needs to receive help and hope, that God, through the resurrection of Jesus and belief in that, is calling you to be a channel of that help and that hope? For those of you who are in workplaces, is there anyone in that location who is clearly struggling, who is finding life difficult, perhaps whose behaviour and attitude is quite challenging, but whose life appears to show the need for greater love and actually greater justice, greater fairness to come within it? Could you, in this period after Easter, be praying that God would guide you to that personal mission field? We are called to, as a church, work together, and that's crucial. And I never want to say it's just all personal and individual. It's not. But the application of this can be to us as a church, but also to us personally as well. Is there someone who God has placed on our heart, or someone who God has brought into our particular view, where he is calling us, not just to see this, not just to observe it, but to be part of the channel of his love and justice coming more fully into their lives? Belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ isn't anything to do with escapism. It's nothing to do with escape from this world. Otherwise, Jesus, just his soul, would have ascended into heaven. There would have been no bodily resurrection. But there was a bodily resurrection, and there will be for Jesus' followers. The New Testament is quite clear about that. And it's not about an escape from this world. It's about a call to action within this world. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. It's not a sideshow. It's not just a sort of, well, we've got to do something with our time ahead of going somewhere else. It's about the call to anticipate the way that God is going to make everything end up. The resurrection of Jesus tells us that God has vindicated Jesus' way. The resurrection of Jesus tells us that God's new creation has begun. The resurrection of Jesus says that we are a sent people. We're sent to be its participants. The resurrection of Jesus says that because evil and injustice are defeated, our labour in the Lord, our work, is not in vain. And the resurrection says that every single person has eternal value. And all of that means that as Christians, we should pursue justice, not simply out of a moral duty, but out of a belief in the resurrection, the belief at the centre of our faith. If Jesus Christ is risen, then the world has already been made new, and we, wonderfully and excitingly, are invited to be part of that transformation. Let's pray. And let's hold that particular thought that I mentioned a few moments ago. Where is God calling us personally to respond to this challenge? Perhaps there is someone who we see during the week, whether it's at work, whether it's a neighbour. Could indeed be someone in our family. But where is God calling us to be a channel of hope through the loving justice inspired and built on the reality of the resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ? Lord God, guide us, we pray, to that area that you're calling us to that person, if that is the case. Give us such confidence in the truth of the resurrection of your Son that we live out that resurrection faith as part of your coming kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.